The United States today, one of the major problems, and some would say it is the major problem in our American society, the broader society, is a problem of addictions. Addictions to opioid substances, to prescription drugs, etc. In the Orthodox Jewish community, there is also a great problem with addictions, particularly among younger people. Younger people, I mean, people in their 20s, people in their teens, and even people not yet in their teens. In fact, I was speaking to a person who works totally within the Frum community, a clinical social worker, who told me the difference between working in that field 5, 6, 7 years ago versus working today is that the problem 5, 6, 7 years ago was OTD, off the derech. And the problem today is OD, overdose. Overdoses on addictions, on addictive substances. Overdoses that sometimes lead to fatalities. I'd like to begin with a definition of addictions. There are many, many definitions. The interesting thing, when I first began to speak publicly on the topic of addictions, I did a search in the halachic literature. There are many, many search engines now, Baruch Hashem, with Torah sources, unimaginably vast resources. But of course, there is no word in halachic literature, up until very, very recently, for addiction. How do you say addiction in classical Hebrew? There's no term for it. However, there is a modern term for it, and it's called hitmakrut, hismakrus, based upon the pasuk at the end of the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, v'hismakartem shom, li'oivecha la'avodim v'lishvachos v'yein koneh, which literally means you will sell yourselves over there when you're at your enemy's control. You will sell yourselves as slaves and as maids, but there will be no one who will want to purchase you. In other words, in a state of great desperation, in a state of captivity, in the ultimate situations of galus, extreme situations, you will have no way, no wherewithal, no way to survive, or so you will feel, unless you sell yourself as a slave. But ironically, there will be no one interested in buying you and purchasing you. And this word, the hismakartem, is used as the basis for the term addiction in modern Hebrew, hitmakrut, to sell yourself over as a slave. I stress this definition because it signifies a certain degree of volition, of free choice. You will sell yourself, the hismakartem. Hismakrut, you're selling yourself over to a power which eventually will be beyond your control. Let me now give you a scientific definition of addiction. And it is taken from the American Society of Addiction Medicine. Listen carefully to the implications that this definition, this scientific definition, has for the topic at hand today, which is addiction and bechira. The relationship between the state of addiction, if it is a state, and bechira and free will, free choice, which is one of the fundamental beliefs of our faith, that each of us has a great degree, usually a much greater degree than we think, of free will, of the ability to do what we decide to do, and that we're not dictated by forces beyond our control. So the definition of the American Society of Addiction Medicine reads, addiction is a primary chronic disease of brain reward, motivation, memory, and related circuitry. Dysfunction in these circuits leads to characteristic biological, psychological, social, and spiritual manifestations. This is reflected in an individual pathologically pursuing reward and or relief by substance use and other behaviors. So you will notice how this definition is grounded in one's biology. It is an issue of brain circuitry, and it has tremendously impactful consequences, biological, psychological, social, and spiritual. I stress spiritual for our concerns today. And it's reflected in a pathology where the person pursues pleasure and other behaviors through substances and other behaviors. This is a definition somewhat akin, but yet somewhat different from hismakrut, which implies a certain degree of volition. A person put himself or herself in this position. It's not a matter just of brain circuitry. It's a matter of selling oneself over to something beyond one's control. I'd like to share, you have in front of you a variety of sources. In no way will we be able to cover or even touch upon all the sources, even in these few pages. You can read them on your own, those of you who can. If not, I can provide translations of most of the sources. I'm going to ignore one of the major sources on this topic, and that is alcohol, wine most particularly, which is covered in so many different sources in our tradition, going back to Tanakh, going back to the beginning of, almost the beginning of human history, to Noah, etc. Came across it recently in the Parshas HaShavua and Parshas Shemini, Yayin v'Shechor al Teish, the special injunction to Kohanim not to drink when they're doing their Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, which also extends, according to Chazal, to rabbis who are Ba'alei Horo. You can't issue a halachic decision when you're under the influence of Yayin v'Sheikh or of wine, etc. I'm not going to go into that because the sources for that are so multitudinous that we couldn't possibly even touch upon them today. That takes us to a source which I wanted you to focus on very carefully, and that is, if you open the little handout from the Hebrew side and you see the words in English, Makorot, on addiction, we will ignore that first page, turn to the second page, and there you will see the second reference to Talmud Bavli, Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph. So we're talking about a source in the Talmud. Now, in the way of dictionary definitions, I'd like to raise the question, is there any halachic source which prohibits one from using dangerous, addictive substances? Is there any, beyond alcohol, is there any other such source? Interestingly enough, in the Encyclopedia of Refuah and Halacha, the editor of whom is speaking here later this afternoon, my good friend, Rabbi Dr. Avram Steinberg, in that encyclopedia, the issue of smoking marijuana or any other substance, I'm not going to call marijuana an illegal substance anymore because of changing political realities in our country, but he says an interesting thing, and this is his words in the encyclopedia. And the encyclopedia is a basic source on these matters in halacha and refuah, medicine and halacha. And he writes that Chazal kavu, kuf beis ayin aleph, v'asru, that Chazal have established and prohibited the use of these types of substances. Is that true? And what is his source? So the footnote there refers you to this source, Pesachim kuf yud gimel amet aleph. But there we find an interesting thing. Chazal lo kavu v'chazal lo asru. But rather, a father, a very distinguished father, spoke to his son, who was to grow up to be a very distinguished son, and advised him not to use these types of substances. So it's not a takona of chazal, but rather it's the advice from father to son. I think that's extremely important. The second source on the second page. Rav, the great Amora, said to Chia, his son. Now, Rav gave his son much paternal advice, all of which is very important to all of us who are fathers. and to all of us who are teachers and to all of us who are rabbis, because we're all father figures to one extent or another. And he told his son Rav Chiya, who then was not Rav Chiya, but Chiya Berei, Lo sishtei samach. Don't drink, don't consume samach. Samach mem means a lotion, a potion, a substance of some sort. We can translate it easily as a drug. Rashi, and Rashi at that point in Maseches Arvei Psochim is limited, because we generally prefer in learning the Rashbam, who has a more elaborate explanation. But Rashi says an interesting thing there, and I'll read you the Rashi. Lo silmad lishtos samim. Notice the words in Rashi. Do not become acquainted, do not become habituated, do not learn to drink samim. We'll translate samim, drugs. Mipnei shetikba lahon veset, because you're going to make it into a habit. The word veset in halakhic literature means something which is habitual and regular. It's used often to refer to a woman's menstrual period. But here it means a habit, a routine, meaning in our language, it's addictive. These samim are addictive. And your heart will demand the samim. You will become addicted to it, and you will want it, and your heart will demand it, and you won't be able to resist. Utefazer ma'os, and you will spend a lot of money on these drugs. This is Rashi writing 900 years ago. How contemporary it is. Then he gives another opinion. I reproduced just below that quote in English, the English translation from the Koren Talmud Bavli, of which I happen to be the editor-in-chief, so you'll excuse the commercial. And you see on the left side the Hebrew of the full quote. We're only focusing on one of the words of advice from Rav to his son Chiya. Lo sishtei samo. In the translation, Rav said to Chiya, his son, do not get into the habit. Notice how the translation, in the part that's not bolded, introduces the words of Rashi, get into the habit, lo silmad lishtosamim, of drinking medications, lest you develop an addiction. Fine. If you look in the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, oh, this is a family affair today, Rav and his son Chiya, Rashi and his grandson, Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir, he says a couple of extra words, and notice he leaves out a word or two from his distinguished grandfather's understanding of this. But notice what he says toward the end of his quote. V'tafsid ma'os, you will lose money. V'yafilu lirfuwa lo tishtei. Even if it becomes medically approved, and this is a medicine, don't drink these addictive substances. How contemporary can you get? Im efshar lirfuwa acheres. If there's another option, if there's another option to reduce your pain, to achieve whatever medical goals you have, then take the other option. Don't use these addictive substances. There's no other possibility. This is the only way to deal with your symptoms. Then perhaps it is permissible. But notice, this is from father to son. And this brings us to a source which is not in the source sheet. Let's send this book around. It's called How to Raise a Drug-Free Kid. And it is authored by Joseph Califano, who was one of my mentors in the area of substance abuse. Joseph Califano, C-A-L-I-F-A-N-O, was the founder and chair of the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, CASA, C-A-S-A, Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. Like many of the books that I refer to, these books are, quote, outdated. But I've learned, both with Sifrei Kodesh and in Sifrei Chol, that very often the outdated books are much more authoritative, more reliable, and more in tune with our value system than the latest volume on this. I'm going to pass this book around. It's called The Straight Dope. It's subtitled The Straight Dope for Parents, What Kids Don't Reveal, What Parents Need to Know. You just pass it around. Just look at it. Those of you who want to get the exact references can take it, etc. I'm recommending this because Dr. Califano's thesis is, and this is the findings of his institute, that the key to controlling the development of substance abuse in youngsters is the relationship between parents and child. And the research that he reports amplifies on this point, the extremely important role that parents have in bringing up their kids in a way that they do not use substances which are addictive. Very, very important. And it's just ironic, and to me, not just coincidental, that in the one source in the Talmud that directly deals with addictions, it is father to son. It is the advice of a father to his son, not a rabbi to a congregation or anything like that. In the explanation or the brief description for this talk, I spoke about two types of addictions: addictions to substances and addictions to behaviors. Very, very important. Both are addictions, and the definition I quoted from the Institute on Addiction Medicine stressed that, both behaviors and substances. So I've given you one reference, a very provocative reference, especially with the Rashbam and the Rashi, on an addictive substance, which is not alcohol. Alcohol, as I said, we'll not deal with today. What about addictive behaviors? What is there in halachic literature, classic halachic literature, that deals with addictive behaviors? So there's one source that I refer to, and that is begins at the very, very bottom of the same page we've been reading, and it's a responsum from the Rivosh, Simon Tov Lamed Beis. Rivosh was one of the latest Rishonim, earliest Achronim, going back now 500-600 years, a little more, and he has a fascinating question, and that is the question of a person who was addicted to gambling. If you study the entire responsum, you'll find an interesting thing. This is not an unusual phenomenon in Jewish history of some centuries ago. This is a very common phenomenon, which he's troubled with in a broad national way. People who are mesachek or mitzachek with various types of kuvia, with dice, with dominoes, with whatever games they were playing. But this is an interesting sheila. It's a sheila about a person who was so addicted to his gambling that he made a shavua b'nikitas chefetz. He made an oath while holding the Sefer Torah in his hands. And in the oath, he swore, "I will never touch the stuff again. I will never gamble again. And if I do, I should be put into cherem. I shouldn't be able to have any pleasure from anyone in my community, etc., etc., etc." And the people in the community came to the Rivosh and asked him the question. The community, and it was a community named Burna. I don't know any more about the community than its name, Burna. But the interesting thing is that they were looking for an ability to be matir his shvua, to nullify, to annul his oath, because this person was going to starve to death. He made an oath that he's not going to have any benefit from anyone in his community. That means the grocer, the butcher, the baker, the rabbi, etc., his wife, etc. So we have to break the oath. Well, the Rivosh's answer in non-halachic terminology is tough love, all right? Do not annul his oath. Let him suffer the consequences. He made the oath, let him keep the oath. If he doesn't keep the oath, and he won't, Rivosh is a realist. He said, "I know he won't, because very few people have the self-control to stop gambling once they're into the addiction." Then practice a tough approach. I see no opening for that. If you look through the entire tshuva, you will see references to previous Rishonim, to previous medieval rabbinic authorities, especially the Rashba, who also was plagued by this phenomenon in his community. And the Rashba's community was all of Sephardic Jewry in those days, in the early medieval times. And he too is plagued by this phenomenon of people who are addicted to gambling. Let's fast forward many hundreds of years. If you turn to the next page, you will see in the middle of the page, Shin Vav Tov, that means She'elo to Teshuvot, responsa from Igros Moshe, that's no one other than Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And he is talking about the title of his tshuva, of his responsum is Isur Ishun Samim, the prohibition against smoking Samim. And he writes this to a person I knew, Rabbi Yerucham Frum. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, that's just a week or 2 weeks ago, in the monthly calendar, Tovshin Lamed Gimel, which works out to 1973. So you're not talking ancient history, but you're talking in terms of community issues, of community mental health, of the Orthodox Jewish community, an old problem. Because you're talking 1973, so you're talking almost 50 years ago. And he writes, Hine Badavor, Asher Hischilu Eze Bachurim Meha Yeshiva. Rav Moshe Feinstein was told that there are some bochrim in the yeshiva, maybe it was his yeshiva, some other yeshiva, la shen hashish marijuana, to smoke hashish marijuana. So he writes very interestingly, pashut shehu davar asur, it is prohibited, mikama ikarei dinim shebatorah. For many, many reasons, this is definitely prohibited, to smoke this stuff, this addictive substance, marijuana hashish. Number one, chada shehu mekalkel u'mechales haguf. It's not good for the body. And there's one thing that we are often, particular as we are, with many halachic rules and regulations, all of us, some of us here, including my own family, we don't eat gebrucht on Pesach, etc., and other such minor issues, minor relatively speaking and from the halachic framework, but we ignore some of the big ones. And one of the big ones is to take good care of your body, to do all you can do to remain healthy, to exercise every day, to diet properly, to pay attention to nutrition. All of these things are Torah-prescribed priorities. And Rav Moshe Feinstein falls into line, of course. The Torah-prescribed priority is to take good care of your health. And if you smoke this stuff, it's going to be dangerous to your health. Very interestingly, not going to get into this in my opinion, because my opinion on these matters is an amateur's opinion. But if you read the literature, it's so easy nowadays, Google marijuana and ask in your Google search to see the pros and cons of marijuana, you will see without any doubt whatsoever, there are negative physical and psychological effects to smoking marijuana, period. Maybe that's, you're so desperate, that's the only, as the Rashbam puts it, the only refuah there. But the whole trend toward the liberalization of laws on these substances is, in my opinion, anti-health, period. Without going into any ideology, it's not healthy, period. All right? I'll show you in a moment, and even more authoritative source of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that even overeating kosher food and healthy food is a danger to your health and is halachically not advisable. But here Rav Moshe said it's mekalkel u'mechales haguf. And he says, yeah, there are plenty of healthy people walking around who smoke this stuff. Aval mekalkel hu es hadas. The one thing that is incontrovertible is that it muddles your mind. You're not thinking straight. And a Jew is not allowed to allow himself to be, or herself to be, in a condition where his mind is muddled. Being a clear-thinking individual is very important. Very important. It's mekalkel es hadas. Ve'einam yecholim lahavar davar le'ishuro. So he says, as I interpret it, you can't understand things properly. And at this point, he's talking about anything. You can't understand traffic directions properly if you are under the influence of marijuana, hashish, or whatever. Then he continues, how much more so? Not only can't you understand davar le'ishuro, meaning traffic directions or relatively trivial issues, but shezeod yoser chamur shelevad shemoneya atzmo milimud hatorah koroi humaniya gam mitfilo mitzvah hatorah. In order to be a religious Jew, forget about a living Jew, a healthy Jew, but a religious Jew, you've got to be able to think straight. You have to be able to study Torah. You have to be able to pray. This takes a certain mental capacities. Not everyone can do this. And therefore, he advises strongly, not advises, he prescribes against it. The interesting thing, if you drop down to four lines from the bottom of his tshuva, he repeats and reinforces my contention and the Rav's contention to Rav Chiya Berei, to Rav Chiya, his son, that this is also a family matter. And he says something very interesting. V'yod, sheha'av v'ha'em shel elu shema'ashnim ze, the father and mother of these people who are smoking this stuff, mitzta'arim miod. They're very pained about it. I don't know anybody yet who's walking around saying, ah, My sons, I have two sons. One is my son, the doctor, and the other one is my son, the pot smoker. I'm proud of both of them equally. As liberal as we've become, I haven't found a father who says that yet. This is Weinreb speaking. Rav Moshe says, of course, mistar miyod. What parent wants to see this? Asher ovrim al mitzvahs kibud av v'aim. Now, kibud av v'aim is a biggie. We tend to think of it as a minor issue, but it's an extremely important issue halachically. And one has to think of everything one does in terms of, am I bringing honor to my parents, or am I being disgraceful toward them? This is a mitzvah in the Torah, number 5 of the Big Ten. And Rav Moshe is bringing this into the picture and other considerations. I'm again skipping over some of the contemporary poskim, relatively contemporary, of Menashe Klein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Avadia Yosef, on side issues with relationship to taking these drugs on Shabbos when they're necessary, etc. But I wanted to share with you something which to me is basic theology. Forget about medicine, forget about neurochemistry, forget about freedom of choice. What's it all about to be a religious Jew? What does it really mean? Getting down to the bottom of it. So if you look, turning the page, you will see in a very tightly packed type, you will see a quote from Harashba. It's at the bottom of the page. So if you're on Rav Moshe Feinstein's page, turn that page one over, and you'll see toward the bottom, which I subtitled, Tzlilut Hada'at La'avodas Hashem, the need to have clarity of mind to worship God. Worship God is not a matter of being in a spiritual state of ecstasy. That's over-spiritualizing Yahadus, according to this approach, this man's approach. The man is Harashba. And Tzlilut Hada'at, clear thinking, is a necessary component of Avodas Hashem. You have to be clearly thinking. You can't be carried away high on whatever. Of course, Shlomo Kalbach's famous song, Higher and Higher Aside, the Rashba, I would think you would agree, supersedes even Shlomo on these matters. And similar people in contemporary life, contemporary Jewish life, Orthodox Jewish life, spiritual Jewish life, Hasidic Jewish life, who think it's all about emotions. So the Rashba writes, I have a little arrow, you may not be able to see it, in the first column toward the end. And he's speaking about a prohibition in the Torah which says, Lo sochlu al hadam, which literally means you should not eat on the blood. What does this mean? A variety of opinions. One opinion is, Al tochlu ad shetispalalu al dimchem. When you wake up in the morning, do not eat, not sit down first for a big breakfast of scrambled eggs and home fried potatoes before you have first davened. The first thing you got to do is pray, then you can eat, not to your heart's content, but to your mind's content. All right? And he goes on, this is next to the last line in the first column under Harashba. Uklal devorov. This is the Ein Yaakov, the editor, quoting the Rashba from another source in the Rashba's writings. Ki pasuk ze kolel asharot rabot, etc. Shelo yochal ad sheyispalel al domo. A person should not eat until he first prays for his blood. In other words, prays for his well-being. Ritzon loma. Sheha'odom nivro la'avod boro lahodos lefonov shehu bero. A man is created to serve his creator and to thank his creator for having been created. V'ilu, and if he doesn't do so, nimtza chotei al domo. He has sinned against his own life. Because his life is dependent upon the creator, he must acknowledge the creator. This is the primary religious experience, according to the Rashba, by the way, who I assume gets this idea from the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. Look it up. Where the Ramban says, you know what it's all about? Two words. B'riyosecha anachnu. Getting up in front of God and saying, we are your creations. You are our creator. In the words of a great Christian theologian, Schleiermacher, Kreaturgefühl. Feeling like you're a creature. Realizing you are a creature. You are kechomer b'yad hayotzer. You're like clay in the hands of the potter. This, the Rashba echoes, is the primary religious experience. And if He puts himself into a state where he can't really be thinking of this. It takes some thought, some contemplation, meditation to really put yourself into that. I am flesh and blood, creation of the Almighty. So he writes, V'ho achila ushesia. Eating and drinking. He's not talking about eating and drinking forbidden substances, either forbidden halachically or forbidden medically or whatever. He's talking about a good breakfast. V'ho achila ushesia. Makrirot hamachshava, or matridot hamachshava. They disturb thought. Lochein im yakdim achila ushesia, vehein sibos matrios nafsho milahashlim chiyuvo lifnei habore, etc. This is a failure to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim. In other words, overeating, stuffing yourself, being gluttonous, etc. of perfectly permissible substances. But we know that a person eats and drinks regular substances. He's eating scrambled eggs and home fries and coffee. I'm not sure about coffee, but a glass of fat-free milk, all right? He still is in some way disturbing his mental capacities. And he brings an interesting proof. The Beis Din, if they were involved in a capital case, before they sentenced the person to death, they had a fast that day to be sure that they were thinking clearly before rendering such an important decision. So this is the Rashba. You can see the whole thing. He goes on at length about the importance of doing everything you can to retain what I'm calling, in modern Hebrew, tzlilut hada'as, clear cognitive processes. I want to just mention, in the source material, I thought I would be able to cover OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Let's leave that for another time and another venue. But I want to show you another behavior which a great and very perceptive person saw as an addictive behavior, not an addictive substance. We've moved from marijuana, hashish, alcohol, to gambling, to just plain overeating, to sexual addictions, to sex addictions. And this is a fascinating passage. I'm just going to touch upon the highlights of it. It's the Kli Yakar. It's the first side of the last page of sources. It's on the Pasuk in Parshas Korach. Vayishma Moshe vayipol al ponov. We know the story. Korach was leading a revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, Ki kol hakohol kulam kedoshim umadu atis nasu al kal Hashem. You guys are making yourself an elitist society. We're all equally holy. Who are you to make yourself the chief? So Korach says to Moshe. Moshe hears this, Vayishma Moshe vayipol al ponov. Moshe hears this and he falls upon his face. What exactly did he hear that troubled him so much that Moshe Rabbeinu became speechless and fell upon his face? All right, Mesechet Sanhedrin Omru, Mashmu Ashoma, what did he hear? Malameh Shechoshaduhu Be'eshes Ish. He heard that he was suspect of adultery. First time you see this, you wonder, what's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu is being suspected of adultery? All right, well, some woman, I don't want to even say this, some woman came through with a hashtag or whatever, Me Too, for Moshe Rabbeinu. And you look through the rest of the Kli Yakar, you will see that it wasn't just Korach who suspected Moshe of misbehavior with Korach's wife, but it was all the Jewish people. A scandal. This was going through the entire Jewish community of 600,000 people. Moshe Rabbeinu is having an affair with your wife. Where did this come from? And how does this fit into the whole context of Korach's claim? Korach said, Korach didn't say it. Korach said, where do you come off? Lama tisnasu? Why are you raising yourself above everybody else? Who made you into this big shot? So the Kli Yakar is worthy of study because that's an interesting thing. Gemara says in Masechta Sota, Kol ha-misyaher, or Kol ha-misga'er, is sofo lavo lidei aroyos. A person who is prideful, a person who is arrogant, a person who thinks he's better than everybody else, this will lead him to adultery and other sorts of promiscuous, immoral behaviors. So there's a relationship between arrogance, gava, and adultery. What's the relationship? The Kli Yakar says, in my words, in the interest of time, but it's worthy of studying, fascinating. The Kli Yakar, who lived in the early 1600s, lived late 1500s, early 1600s, he was basically the successor of the Maharal Miprag as the chief rabbi of Prague. So we were talking about a person with great credentials, besides being one of the most famous providers of homiletic material in our history, in our tradition. He says a fascinating thing. When a person is arrogant, this is my words, contemporary language, he becomes a control freak. Almost a definition of arrogance is, I got to run everything. I got to be in control. And when a person has this yetzer hara of arrogance, of gava, and he's consumed by this need to control. And he controls businesses, and he controls synagogues, he controls institutions, he controls groups, he controls his children, he controls his own wife. And then he realizes, you know, there's something out there that I can't control, I must control it. And that is every man's wife. I can't control them, and I have no access to them. Their husband is blocking it. They are, in some way, they're under their husband's control, not under my control, and he can't take it. So he begins to have affairs with one person after the other. He becomes what we would call today a sex addict. And not just a sex addict, but a sex addict with every married woman, and a sex addict with all sorts of incestuous relationships, because he wants to have control over his daughter, he wants to have control over the kindergartens, etc. He becomes a pedophile, etc., etc. The shoresh, the root of it all, Mr. Psychoanalyst Kli Yakar says, the root of it all is arrogance. This need, I am me. Me, 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 and I've got to control everything and everybody, including in a sexual context. In a sexual context. And his sex becomes a matter not of lust, Kli Yakar says this in his words, but a matter of control, a need for control. That's an addiction, classic addiction, different terminology, obviously different framework, different Weltanschauung, but this is one way that, quote, science looks at these behaviors. I was asked to speak a bit about free will versus addiction. Because if addiction really is hardwired into our brain circuitry, so, you know, what free will do we have? What free will do we have? I'm going to give you three sources from two of my master's teachers, one in sacred arenas and one in the secular arena, and from a recovering addict whom I have a familiarity with. One of my great teachers, I never met him personally, but I read his books from the time they first came out, was Rav Dessler, the author of Michtav Meliyahu. And he introduces a concept in his fascinating, very subtle, very sophisticated analysis of the concept of Bechira, free will, from a Jewish, traditional Jewish perspective. And he invented a term called Nikudat HaBechira, the point of choice. He says as follows. Let's use the religious examples that he gives. Do I have free will? All right, if I wanted to leave here, I'm hungry, I worked hard all morning, and now I want to go out and I'll go to the nearest McDonald's and have myself a ham and cheese sandwich. Do I have the free will to do that? You might say yes, there's nothing stopping me, except somebody might see besides the one above. But it's almost as bad as walking around some circles without a black hat, being caught going into McDonald's for ham and cheese. So seriously though, it's Rav Dessler says, that's not within my free choice. Why? Because it's past me. Long ago, I passed that one. That's not something that tempts me. I can drive past 100 McDonald's. I don't even think of going in there. However, if I'm very, very thirsty and there's some water here and I'd like to drink it right now, but I have to make a shahakol ni'ibadvoro, I might, well, I'll make the bracha, but without kavona. That's within my realm of free will. I mean, that I can do. I can mumble the bracha, I can say it with great intent. That's within the framework of my will. And then there's other things that are way ahead of my free will. You know, to devote myself, come home tonight, I'll be very, very tired, a long day, to sit down and learn Gemara for 3 hours before I go to sleep, that's already beyond my nakuda. My nakuda is a brief range of behaviors. There are things which are past and things which are ahead of my nakuda sabachira. Translating that into drug addictions and quoting my friend who is herself an addict. So she says, I have free will. I have free will not to pick up this stuff. But once I pick it up, then I lose free will. The alcoholic has free will not to be near alcohol, not to be near wine or any other alcoholic drug. He has that free will. It's tough, etc., but it's possible. Once he's there and the scotch is right in front of him, the free will is gone. So there's that type of nekuda. This idea is really the theme of a book written by a person who I was privileged to have as a mentor long, long ago in my psychology training. His name was Leslie Farber, F-A-R-B-E-R, and the book, expanded edition, is called The Ways of the Will. And he gives a different marshal entirely. He's a Jewish person, but he's very far in the context in which he thought from Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler's thinking about eating a ham sandwich, making kavanah and bracha, etc. He's thinking of playing tennis. Playing tennis. And he says a fascinating thing. When you see a master tennis player playing tennis, is he using his will? When he decides to backhand this stroke, turn away that stroke, take three steps back, etc., is there any volitional process going on in his head? No, because it's become habituated. It's part of him. The distinction between the psychological and the physical is gone. Because if he's a good tennis player, he's not thinking what my next move is going to be. He's just flowing. He's into what some psychologists call flow. It's a point where he's just doing it smoothly and everything else without any thought. If he loses the game and then he says, I got to go back for some more lessons, then he starts using his will. He decides to go for lessons. He learns that the backstroke, he's doing it at the wrong angle. And then he's using his head. Then he's making choices in the area of will. In the words of Leslie Farber, so he distinguishes between two types of will. The one that's just flowing, that's the one that's behind in the Kudas HaBechira and Rav Dessler's conceptualization. And then there's another type of will, which is your area of free choice. You have the free choice. By the way, the addict has a free choice not to touch the substance. But also, she has the free choice of consulting help, of seeking help, of just saying, help, all right? Somebody do something. Help me. I can't do it myself. Saying that is also free choice. That's the area of Nekudas HaBechira. That's Farber's will in the second instance. Let me give, writes Farber, a few examples. Listen to these examples. They're astounding. And I'll add one. I can will knowledge, but not wisdom. We can all will today, I'm going to learn how to speak Spanish, all right? But that doesn't mean we can will to master Spanish. We can will knowledge, but we can't will wisdom. I can will going to bed, but not sleeping. Do you ever try to will sleeping? Not going to work. You can will going to bed. There's a Nekudas HaBechira, and there's something beyond with. I can will eating, but not hunger. Meekness, but not humility. Listen to this next one. Scrupulosity. I can will scrupulosity. I can take out a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and decide I'm going to follow it word by word. That's scrupulosity, but not virtue. Not virtue. You could be, as we studied in the Ramban just yesterday, Naval Bershus HaTorah. You can be very scrupulous and keep every single detail of halacha and still be a manuvel, still be a knave, still be a glutton, still be a vulgar person. See my most recent person in the parsha, on Parshas Kedoshim. You can will lust, but not love. Commiseration, but not sympathy. Congratulations, but not admiration. Religiosity, but not faith. Reading, but not understanding. And I would say you can will becoming cured of addiction, but you can't will the cure. You can will asking for help. You can will tremendous self-control. You can will seeking for antidotes for whatever you're taking or alternatives, but you can't will the cure. Similarly, you can't will addiction. You can will one drink and another drink and a third drink and a fourth drink, and then addiction will come. It won't be what something that you will. I just want to close by saying, of course, we only touched on some basic points, some Torah sources, some of my own thinking, some thinking from secular sources. Whoever has the Califano book, please make sure I get it back before I leave here. And I want to wish you a rest of the day full of much hatzlacha, great Talmud Torah, all leading Emir Tzashem to the Gula Shlema, addiction-free, except for Molo Ha'oretz Deo Es Hashem, Kamayim Layom Mechasim. There's one addiction we will have, and that will be addiction to Avas Hashem, to Avas Yisroel, and to Avas Eretz Yisroel. B'mehera Yomeinu.